welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Sitcoms coming up in this hour, later on Duffy's Tavern from 1947, but first it's The Mel Blanc Show, featuring one of radio's and Warner Brothers' most familiar voices. This episode from CBS heard on October 1st, 1946.
From Hollywood, Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle presents The Mel Blanc Show.
My lawnmower needs sharpening. I've got to take it to Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop.
My wife's percolator top is cracked. I've got to take it to Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop.
Oh, my stocking has a run in it. I've got to take it to Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop.
My wife's going to have a baby. I got to take her to Mel Blanc, to the hospital. Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle brings you The Mel Blanc Show with Mary Jane Croft, Earl Ross, Joe Kern, Zookie, Victor Miller and his orchestra, and as the star in his own Fix-It Shop, Mel Blanc. Now let's drop in at Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop. You know, Mel is one of those fellows who'll tackle any odd job and make it come out even. But it's an even bet that when he's through, the odds will be against him. You'll see just what I mean as soon as you listen to Mel talking things over with his girlfriend, Betty.
Gee, honey, your father's going to be proud of me when he sees how I fixed up everything for the company picnic tomorrow. The table, the chairs, the barbecue.
Yes, Mel.
Yeah, but I keep remembering last year's picnic. You and I stayed after everybody left.
Uh-huh. You slipped your arm around my waist. I slipped my arm around your waist.
Yeah, and then we both puckered up and...
Yeah.
We blew out the fire together.
Oh, silly. But really, tomorrow's picnic means a great deal to Father.
Well, what's so special about it?
Well, this year, Lionel Owens, the district manager of Supermarkets Incorporated, is guest of honor.
Well, that's nice. But you and I will be together all day.
Now, listen. Huh? You see, Daddy has an idea Mr. Owens may promote him to be assistant district manager.
Gee, that'd be nice for your father. Hey, look, honey, tomorrow, let's you and I take a rowboat.
Mel, I'm trying to tell you something.
Huh?
Lionel Owens is very important to Daddy. And I have to be with him most of the day, make things pleasant for Mr. Owens at the picnic.
Oh, I get it.
We just want to help Daddy in any way we can, you know.
I know, and I'm trying my best. Look at this banner I painted to welcome Mr. Owens. Wait till I read it to you. The employees of Supermarket Incorporated No. 12 welcome Lionel Owens, Big Ham.
Mel!
Big ham and shrimp barbecue. Guess I put the comma in the wrong place.
Honey, you don't really mind about Mr. Owens and me tomorrow, do you?
Well, I had it all planned to be with you.
I know, but what about Father?
Let him get his own girl.
Darling, if Mr. Owens has a good time at the picnic tomorrow, there may be a promotion in it for Daddy. Remember, Mr. Owens is pretty important.
Yeah, he must be. Your father came here this morning just to tell me that Mr. Owens is a big success in business. Not like some other people he knows.
Oh, Mel.
And he told me Mr. Owens was a big athlete in college. All-American, a real man. Not like some people he knows. He said Lionel Owens is the kind of a man any father would be proud to have for a son-in-law. Not like some other people he knows. I wonder who all those people are your father knows.
Mel, you know Lionel Owens couldn't possibly mean a thing to me. You're just as big a success as he is any day. You know it, and I know it.
Yeah, too bad it's just a secret between you and me.
Well, honey, anyway, tomorrow, remember, I'm spending the day with Mr. Owens to please Father. It's strictly a business deal.
Yeah, and I'm getting the business. Oh, hello, Mr. Colby.
Yes,
Yes, it is a nice day, isn't it?
Melvin, I'm a little worried about the picnic tomorrow.
Oh, there's nothing to worry about. Uncle Rupert, Zookie, and I fixed everything. The chairs, the barbecue, the banner for Mr. Owens.
Mr. Owens, I'm worried about. He has an idea. He's just as good an athlete as the day he left college. He thinks he's as strong as an ox.
Well, gee, Mr. Colby, he ought to enjoy showing off on those two strength testers. You know those two muscle meters we rented from the amusement park?
Yes, he'll be tickled pink if he wins. But if by some freak he loses, I'll never get that job as assistant district manager.
Well, then you have to find somebody who'll compete against Mr. Owens. Somebody who'll be sure to lose.
Yes, what we need is a little weakling, a surefire pushover.
That's right.
I know just the man, but I don't know whether or not he'd do it.
Oh, Mr. Colby, anybody who'd refuse to help you in a situation like this is a, well,
That's all I wanted to know. Then I'll ask him.
What's his name?
Mel Blanc.
Mel Blanc? Me? Oh, hey, Mr. Colby, I'm no athlete.
Exactly. You get the idea.
Oh, no. I posed for one of those health ads. You know those before and after pictures?
Which one were you, before or after?
Neither. I was heaven forbid.
Oh, but it's wonderful. You know, I can just see it now. Lionel Owens takes the mallet, swings at the muscle meter, up goes the whatchamacallit, hits the thingamajig, and the bell rings.
Yeah.
1,000, the meter reads Superman.
Gee, and Mr. Owens wasn't even trying.
And then comes your turn.
Yeah.
You step up, swing the mallet down with all your might. The thingamabob flies up and up and up and up.
What does the meter read for me?
100, Mickey Mouse.
Oh, but Mr. Colby, what will Betty think of me?
Now, we won't say a word about this to anyone, understand? Oh, I knew I could count on you, son. Oh, now I must go down to the station and pick up Mr. Owens.
Must you?
In fact, I think I'll bring him here first, just to let him see what kind of competition he'll be up against tomorrow.
Well, I heard a cutthroat competition, but why must it be my throat?
True what Father told me? You're going to compete against Mr. Owens tomorrow?
Yeah, on the muscle meter, but...
Oh, darling, I'm so proud of you.
Well, maybe you better wait till tomorrow.
Oh, Mel, this is what I've been waiting for. You taking this way to show Daddy you're not spineless, that you've got a lion's heart and a quick eye.
Gosh, wouldn't it be easier if he just gave me a physical?
Oh, darling, I just know you're going to win. Oh, look, here come Father and Mr. Owens now.
Come on in, Mr. Owens. I want you to meet Bearcat Blank, the strongest man in town.
I'd be delighted to. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, yes, and this is my daughter, Betty.
Hello, Mr. Owens.
Well, well, well. I've looked forward to meeting you. It's my pleasure.
It's my girl.
Now, Mel, aren't you going to shake hands with Mr. Owens?
That's right. Put her there, Bearcat.
Oh, oh, oh!
What's the matter?
Oh, nothing. I never use that hand much anyway.
Say, I hear you're quite a fella in the muscle department. Good, good. I want some real competition. Here, feel some real muscles. Well, go on, feel.
Gee, they are real, aren't they?
You know where I got these?
Eastern Columbia, Broadway at 9.
College days, I used to get up every morning and chop up 6 cords of wood for breakfast. Boy, was that good.
I like Wheaties much better.
Isn't Mel a card, Mr. Owens? Well, we'd better be going. Come on.
Good to know you, Blank. Put her there.
Oh, I'd rather not. I might hurt your other hand.
Goodbye, Mel. You coming, Father?
I'll be right with you. Now, look, Melvin, it's all understood then, huh?
I guess so.
Owens wins, you lose. If Owens doesn't get a chance to show off those muscles of his tomorrow, he's going to be feeling real awfully bad. And if he feels bad, I'll feel bad. And, well, you know what that means.
Yeah, I'll feel worse. Yeah.
Zuki, my lad, installing these ridiculous muscle meters has me completely fatigued.
Yeah, I'm all to the attire. Ow, ow, ow. I'm all beat. I'm exhausted. I feel swell.
That supermarket super athlete Owens will give Mel an awful trouncing tomorrow. How does Mel expect to win? He ought to wise up to himself.
Yeah, Mel ought to get next to himself when it comes to me. He ought to get next to himself when it comes to... He ought to get next to himself when he... He could meet more nice people that way.
But listen, Zuki, Mel is not going to lose. I have a plan.
Yeah.
Zuki, we're going to loosen the spring in this red machine... so that no matter how hard this Owens fellow hits it, it won't register over 200. Understand?
Yeah.
And then we're going to tighten the spring on this blue machine so that when Melvin brings his puny mallet down, the bell on top will resound for hours. Get it?
Oh, it's no. how can you tell which muscle meter, which guy is supposed, whether Mel can, how?
Don't you worry, Zookie. I'll see that Mel works only on the blue machine. I've taken care of that. Honest Uncle Rupert had himself appointed referee.
You did?
Yes, my lad. Melvin just can't lose.
Well, our Mr. Fix-It, Mel Blanc, is really in a fix. Mel has promised to lose to Lionel Owens in a contest of strength on the muscle meter. But Uncle Rupert and Zookie, who know nothing of Mel's promise, have fixed it so that Mel can't lose. Well, we find Mel and Betty at the picnic grounds now, but you can bet that before the day's over, it'll be anything but a picnic for our hero.
Hey, look, Betty, suppose I don't show up so well against Mr. Owens. Would it matter very much to you?
Oh, of course not. I know you're going to do your best against him in this contest. And when it's all over, you'll feel like a new man.
Yeah, and whoever I feel like will be an improvement.
Honey, don't talk like that. I know you're going to win today.
How can you be so sure?
Well, I love you, don't I?
That's logical.
Be serious, darling. What's the matter with you?
Oh, I don't know. I just don't have the ambition to amount to anything.
Now, that's silly.
I don't have the personality to amount to anything.
That's not true.
And I don't have the brains to amount to anything. Well, this is a fine time to stop arguing with me.
Oh, darling. Well, now, listen, I really must get back to Mr. Owens. Say, do you know what that big windbag said?
What, honey?
He said he can tear a telephone book in half. Isn't that funny?
Cammy?
Yes, he tore one in half for me.
Oh.
A Chicago directory, too.
Oh. Well, I can tear a telephone book in half, too.
You can now?
Yeah, if it's one from Ghost Town, Arizona.
Well, goodbye, honey.
Bye.
Don't forget, I'm with you.
Thanks, honey. Oh, this is fine. If I win, I lose. If I lose, I win. Well, at least you can't say I'm not getting an even break.
Zookie, oh, Zookie!
Yes, Uncle Rupert. Hi, Rup.
Are you sure you fixed those muscle meters so that Melvin can't lose?
Oh, yeah, everything is... everything is okay, check.
What took you so long?
I ran into the Dr. Crab.
Dr. Crab, that dog doctor. What's he doing here at the picnic?
Well, he wants to see you.
Here he comes now. I'll talk to him. Zookie, you get back and watch those machines.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, hello, Christopher. How's the good dog doctor today?
Consultant veterinarian, if you don't mind.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing's the matter with me. Just got a catch in my throat. Could I have a pan of water?
Say, Christopher, do you realize you hang around dog kennels so much, you're beginning to sound like a dog?
You're very kind. Thank you, Rupert.
Christopher, I'm in a hurry. I have to referee a contest of strength between Melvin and Mr. Owens.
Oh, I wish you'd introduce me to Mr. Owens. I want to ask him to market my special dog food. It's called Dr. Crab's Doggy Dinner.
How does it taste?
Oh, delicious.
Okay, Christopher. I'll tell Mr. Owens.
Thanks. I'd have told him myself, but I couldn't get to him for all those wild kids here at the picnic.
Oh, come now, Christopher. You must have been pretty wild yourself when you were a pup.
Oh, no. I lived a very sheltered childhood. In fact, I was kept on a leash. My mother saw to that.
Your mother? What about your father?
Who do you think was on the other leash?
Oh, go away. Go away. I've wasted enough time already.
I'll go. Goodbye, Rupert. Remember, don't put a dachshund in a revolving door. He's much too long, my friend. He'll only catch up with himself and say, "Brother, this is the end." Bye.
supermarket number 12. You're about to witness a contest of strength and skill between your esteemed district manager, this mass of muscles, Lionel Owens.
Thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Here in my hand you see a Chicago telephone directory. Watch closely.
Wish he'd stop tearing up those telephone books.
And his opponent, that grand boy, that magnificent specimen of manhood, proprietor of our local fix-it shop, Mel Blanc.
Hooray!
Thank you, Miss Colby. And now, Mr. Owen, step right up to your muscle meter. No, 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 not that one right here. The red one.
Anything you say.
Now, gentlemen, the first one to ring the bell will be the winner. You have three tries. You're first, Mr. Owens. Go ahead.
Okay. Stand back, everybody. This is going to be a cinch. 1,000 the first time. A 100?
100 on the muscle meter. Good for you, Mr. Owens. The meter reads, weak as a kitten, drink more milk.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait till I take another swing at this. I'll break it in half.
150 and the meter reads, top of the mark, if you're a grandmother.
I don't understand it. Wait, everybody, get further back. Spread out. I'll do this.
Back to 100, and the meter again reads, weak as a kitten.
Oh, no. Oh, no, it can't be. I'm through. I'm through.
Oh, don't worry, Mr. Owens. I probably won't hit 75.
That's right, Mel. You won't hit that high, will you?
Me, Mr. Colby? Why?
Right here, Melvin. The blue muscle meter. Step right up, my boy.
Go ahead, darling. You show him.
Okay. Well, here goes, everybody. Did somebody hear something?
1,000 on the muscle meter, and the meter reads, Superman!
Superman! Oh, that's wonderful, Melon, with only one hand.
Yeah, my left hand, too.
Mel Blanc, I want to talk to you.
Oh, Mr. Colby, honest,
I
just...
I want to talk to you.
I can't now. I'll see you later. I got to get a candy bar, you know, for energy.
Melvin, my boy, wait. Wait for Uncle.
Mr. Colby?
Yes, Mr. Owen.
I want to talk to you. Alone.
Now, look, Mr. Owen, you weren't in form. Everybody has an off day.
No, Colby, let's face it. I'm slipping. I've been working too hard as district manager. The old fire is gone.
Fire? Oh, you mean fire's gone.
Yes, Colby. When I got out of college, I promised myself that the moment I started losing my grip, I'd give up work completely and build myself up again.
You don't say.
Now you can help me, Colby. You've got to take my place as district manager.
Me? District manager?
No, I know it'll take a toll of your strength as it did me, but you won't let me down, will you? Will you accept?
Will I?
I will.
Uncle Rupert, let me get this straight. You say you and Zuki fixed those muscle meters so I couldn't help winning?
Exactly, my lad. No job too big for the fix-it shop. Now, are you pleased with your old uncle?
Oh, but you don't understand. The only reason Mr. Colby entered me against Owens was for me to lose. I promised to lose.
Lose?
Mr. Colby will kill me. He'll lose his job. Oh, what a mess.
Oh, I'm sorry, Melvin.
Hey, wait, maybe it's not too late. I hope I can straighten this out before Mr. Colby gets fired. Say, Mr. Owens?
Yes?
Say, what do you say you take another crack at the muscle meter, huh?
It's no use, Mr. Blanc. I just haven't got it in me.
Melvin, can't you see that Mr. Owens is tired, very tired?
Oh, come on, Mr. Owens, just one more try. You can do better than grandmother.
No, thanks. I've been embarrassed enough for one day.
Melvin, let's just let things stand the way they are, shall we? Shall we?
Oh, Mr. Owens, please. Here, take this mallet. Step up to the blue muscle meter. Please, go on, try it, please.
Well, okay, but it's really no use.
You see, 1,000, Mr. Owens. You're a...
Yeah, I'm Superman. I'm Superman! Whoa!
Well, that's more like
it. I'm my old self again. Mr. Colby, where's Mr. Colby?
Here I am, sir.
Oh, I thought I was through, Mr. Colby, but Mel here changed my mind.
Yeah, didn't I?
Well, I won't be needing anybody to replace me, Colby. I guess I'm still right there on the beam, thanks to Mel here. See you later, everybody.
Oh, Daddy, aren't you proud of Mel?
You...
Daddy, put down that mouse, Mr. Colby!
We'll be back in a moment with a Zookieism. What's a Zookieism? Wait and see.
Use Colgate tooth powder. Keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night.
Don't take a chance with your romance.
Use Colgate tooth powder.
Zookie, I hope you learned something about competition from today's picnic.
Yes, Zookie. Everything in life has a moral. What did you learn?
Well, I learned that to win, you got to put your shoulder to the... to win, you got to put your nose to the... to win, you got to... you got to be a good loser.
This is Bud Houston reminding you that Colgate tooth powder for a breath of sweet and teeth that sparkle brings you the Mel Blanc Show every Tuesday at this time. Be sure to join us again next Tuesday night for more fun with Mel and the people you'll meet in Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop.
Say hello to Halo Shampoo if you want naturally bright and beautiful hair. For Halo Shampoo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling soap film. Halo lets hair sparkle with natural brilliance. Even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather to quickly carry away loose dandruff and dirt. Halo needs no lemon or vinegar rinse. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Get Halo Shampoo at any cosmetic counter.
The Mel Blanc Show was written by David Victor and Herb Little, Jr. and was produced and directed by Joe Rhines. Ladies, remember, your butcher pays you 4 cents a pound for used kitchen fat. Sell him a can this week for sure. The Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Mel Blanc Show on Tuned to Yesterday from the 1st of October 1946 on CBS. You are listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In 1947, NBC Radio on Wednesday nights was pretty much sitcom night, beginning at 8 o'clock with The Dennis Day Show, then The Great Gildersleeve at 8:30, followed by Duffy's Tavern, of which we'll hear an episode from next. Almost 20 million people tuned into this episode, heard on May 28, 1947.
It's Wednesday night, so we take you now to Duffy's Tavern with our guest tonight, Bert Gordon, the Mad Russian, and starring Archie himself, Ed Gardner. Duffy's Tavern is brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste. Ipana, the toothpaste that dentists prefer 2-to-1 over any other dentifrice for their own personal use, according to a nationwide survey.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern. Where do you leave me to eat? Archie the manager speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. Yep, tonight's the big night. Miss Duffy's coming out party. Huh? Is it formal, No, Duffy, semi-formal. The dames come half-dressed. Yeah. Yep. It ought to be a terrific coming-out party. Yeah, great coming-out party, Duffy. It's got all the essentials. A rich father and an ugly daughter. Huh? You ain't rich. Well, I'm still batting 500. Well, what time are you coming down, Duffy? Good. And is the little woman... Is Mrs. Duffy coming down with you? Huh? She's getting a party dress fitted right now? You're helping the surveyors with the measurements. Well, hurry up and get down here, Duffy. Okay, see you later. Eddie.
Yes, Mr. Duffy.
Eddie, I wish you would ascertain if everything has been taken care of by the Committee on Arrangements.
You mean the entire committee?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just a minute, I'll find out. Is everything okay, Eddie? Yep, everything's okay. Mr. Archer, The committee reports unanimously that everything has been ascertained.
Well, it ought to be the biggest coming-out party of the season, Eddie. We have a very exclusive guest list.
Very exclusive.
Oh, yeah. By the way, did your invitations get out?
Oh, yes, sir. The kids standing on the corner, hand them out right now.
Good. By the way, did you read them invitations I made up?
No.
Take a gander at them.
Oh, let's see here. Monster coming out party. Admission $1. You are honored to be a guest at the coming out party and RSVP to be held at Duffy's Tavern in memoriam of Miss Duffy. Dearly beloved daughter of Honorable and Mrs. M.P. M.P.? Members of Parliament?
Mom and Pop. Proceed ahead, Eddie.
P.S. Cuisine to start promptly at 9 o'clock and will continue until dinner.
Pretty good invitation, huh, Eddie? And you will notice I had the printing embossed.
Embossed?
Yes, that raised lettering.
Oh, yeah, well, that should come in handy after the guests get blind. by the way, any time you got dressed up for the party?
Oh, yeah, I guess it is. What do you think I ought to wear, Eddie? Me full dress suit?
Well, yes and no.
What do you mean, yes and no?
Well, you ought to wear one, and no, you ain't got one. Hey, who's all coming tonight?
Oh, you saw the guest list. Very swanky crowd. Mr. and Mrs. Plato McGonagall. Cavendish, the Undertaker, and Lady Cavendish. Atwater McGurk. Messrs. One-Eyed Goldfarb. And his charming daughter, Cyclops. Lightfinger Lynch and his escort, Dame May Fagan. Second story, Jackson and his wife, fourth story. That's his second wife, you know. And it's Mr. and Mrs. Pharaoh Farouk. Very wealthy people, Eddie.
What does he do?
Oh, nothing. He's retired. Made a fortune building obelisks. Wait a minute. Hey, look who's here, the guest of honor. Good evening, Miss Duffy.
Hello, Archie. How do you like my new dress?
Strapless, huh? What keeps it up?
Mama, she sewed me into it. Archie, an opinion. Do you like the fringe tunic?
The fringe tunic? No, I don't quite see you in a fringe tunic. I see you more in a seersucker dirndl. With the velvet pleats across the bias and a crepe de chine bolero with an I.J. Fox midriff.
You mean with a crisscross hemstitch?
Yes, that's it. And a very sheer midriff, you know, the kind with a flouncy bodice to set off the lines in your peplum. Of course, that's just one girl's opinion. You can get a guy with the bait you got on more power to you. Incidentally, have you got a date tonight?
No.
Oh, no. Oh, that's so bad.
Well, maybe this is the night Mr. Wright will come along.
Oh, how will you know he's Mr. Wright?
Easy. He'll be the one that asked me to marry him.
Oh, well, that narrows down the field. Good luck to you, Miss Duffy.
Thank you, Archie. I'll see you in a little while.
Okay. Hey, Eddie.
Yeah?
You know, I feel sorry for the dame of coming out party and no date. I'd like to help her, but who can you get for her, you know? You can't get any guy that's in his right mind.
Hello, Arch.
Hello, Finnegan.
Say, Arch, I hear there's a big party going on here tonight with a lot of society dames.
Smattering. Why?
Well, Arch, would you introduce me to one of them young dowagers?
Finnegan. The dowagers ain't the young dames. The dowagers is the old men. And if you want me to get you a girl, don't forget this is a very high-class party, and I want you to act very refined. None of them usual show-off tricks of yours, you know, like putting your false teeth in the mashed potatoes.
Well, gee, Arch, I gotta have a little fun. Can I even do me nutcracker trick?
What's that again?
Well, I asked the dame if she wants a nutcracker, see? And if she says yes, I crack her over the nut with a bottle.
I don't know, Finnegan. It sounds amusing. Try it once and see if it gets a laugh. But if it don't, see that you tender the lady your apologies.
Well, of course, Arch. Who's more of a stickler for form than me? Hey, look, Arch, could you get me a girl for the party?
Yep, I got just the girl for you.
Who?
Miss Duffy.
Oh, no, you don't, Arch.
Now, just a second, Finnegan. Try to think of the bright side of Miss Duffy.
Well, that's pretty tough, Arch.
Finding the bright side?
No, trying to think.
You can do it if you try. Go ahead, think of something nice about her.
Well, let's see. Maybe you better go first.
Let's see. She could be worse. Now it's your turn again.
Well, frankly, Arch, I think we've exhausted all the possibilities.
You ought to get her a guy. Hey, wait a minute. I got an idea. Give me that phone. Hello? Shotgun's Escort Bureau? Mail order department, please. Yes, I want to order a mail. Hello, mail order? I wonder if you could provide me with an escort for tonight. Look, bud, how would you like a punch in the nose? This happens to be for a young lady. Huh? Is she single? Extremely. Would we take a Russian prince? Oh, sure. Sounds terrific. Yeah, we'll send him right over to Duffy's Tavern. Oh, boy, will Miss Duffy be happy. A real Russian prince. Hello? Oh, hello, Duffy. I got terrific news. I got a Russian prince for Miss Duffy. No, Duffy, this is no phony. This is the real ersatz. Well, Duffy, we had to do the best we could. You know, the dame ain't getting no younger. She's been having these coming-out parties now for 15 years. In fact, she's come out on the same day so often that in groundhog circles, it's getting to be known as Miss Duffy Day. Okay, well, hurry up and get down here.
Friends, listen. If you want to make your teeth brighter, your smile more sparkling, then listen to what we learned from dentists in a nationwide survey.
Dentists prefer Ipana toothpaste 2-to-1 over any other dentifrice for their own personal use.
So why don't you try Ipana and see for yourself why Ipana is so popular with dentists? See how Ipana can help your teeth to a brightness, your smile to a loveliness you never thought possible. And in such an easy way, too. Here's all you have to do.
Brush your teeth regularly with Ipana. Then with a fingertip, briefly and gently massage the gums along the line where they meet the teeth.
This gum line is most important, because your smile needs healthy gums as well as bright teeth to stay radiant and sparkling. So between regular visits to your dentist, give your gums and teeth this special Ipana care. Why not start right now with Ipana? Ipana, for your smile of beauty.
Gee, Eddie, a real Russian prince coming down here. You know, it makes even me nervous. I ain't talked to royalty in so long, I'll probably kiss the wrong foot.
You know, why don't you throw a protocol to the winds and just curtsy?
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
Good evening, Archie, my boy.
Oh, good evening, Officer Clancy. What's new?
Oh, nothing much. I just see by the papers we're due for a long, dry spell.
Yeah,
huh?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Parched is a man's mouth just to think about it.
Uh-huh. Why don't you try thinking about something else, Clancy? Maybe you won't be so parchy.
I hear you're having a party here tonight.
That's right.
Have you got a singer?
Well, Miss Duffy will probably sing.
No, I mean some big opera star like that, what's his name again?
Melchior?
No,
Tibbet?
No, I'm thinking of Nino...
Martini?
Thank you, and leave out the olive. Takes up entirely too much room.
Okay, Clancy. Here's the martini.
Well, here's good luck to the party. I hope the guests don't get obstreperous.
Obstreperous?
Stinking. You know, like they did last year. Remember how Callahan put away a whole pint and then kept kissing Dugan's wife till Dugan punched him in the nose?
Dugan got sore, huh?
Certainly, it was his pint. So then the wife turned around and walloped Dugan for hitting Callahan. And poor old Dugan wound up in the hospital with repercussion of the brain.
Repercussion?
She socked him twice. Well, I'll see you later, Archie.
Well, so long, Clancy. See you at the party. Oh, Eddie, look, when that Russian prince gets here, be sure to let me know, huh?
Well, how will I recognize him?
Well, it's easy to tell a prince, Eddie. They all got that aristocratic look, you know. Tall, charming, dashing, handsome.
How do you do?
Are you the Russian prince?
What do you expect for $5, Rasputin?
Anyhow, welcome to Duffy's Tavern. What do you think of the joint?
It reminds me of the Russian secret police.
The Russian secret police?
OGPU. I haven't seen anything like it since I left Minsk.
Oh, you lived in Minsk?
Also in Pinsk.
How did you like it?
Stinsk. Free lunch. Beautiful. Say, this is delicious.
You mean you like it?
Most of course. My compliments to the chef.
Hey, you hear that, Eddie?
Yes. Too bad the chef ate some. He could hear it, too.
Here, Prince. Make yourself at home. Pull up a stuffed cossack and, sit you down. Tell me, when did you leave Russia?
I left during the revolution.
Oh. How?
Very quickly.
Well, why did they kick you out, Prince?
Too many princes and not enough blinzes.
Oh, is that...
At that time, you see...
Yes?
I was living in the palace of mine uncle, the Grand Duke Ivanovich, Fyodorovich, Alexandrovich, Petrovich, Itch.
What happened to him?
They scratched him. Then an unfortunate incident in the court. They sent me to Siberia.
Oh, must have been pretty cold, wasn't it?
Cold is, gold. It's so cold in Siberia, the only thing that circulates is the propaganda.
Well, it must have been fun in Russia in the old days before the revolution, oh, huh? Riding around in the snow on them samovars with the little bell tinkling and making love to them pretty little drashkis. And that Russian music.
You like Russian music?
I love it. Rachmaninoff, Tchaikovsky, Stravinsky, Paderewski.
Just a second. Paderewski was Polish.
In them days, so was Poland. Yeah, Prince, I think this party tonight will remind you of the old days.
I hope the party won't be too wild. I remember back in Russia, we had a party one night where we went swimming with all our clothes on in the
Volga?
Disgusting. By the way, this girl I'm escorting tonight, describe her to me, please. Hair?
Yes.
What color?
The dame will make it any color you want.
I see, I see. And the face?
What about it?
Smooth shaven.
Just like a pitch. You'll love her, Prince. By the way, on a job like yours, when you meet dames like this for the first time, what's your technique?
You see? First, I croon to her similar Rudy Wally. Old Russian lullabies like June is bursting out all over. Or perhaps the Shostakovich song.
The Shostakovich song?
Shostakovich small by a waterfall.
Then I breathe moderately hot breath on her neck, like this. It didn't work. By this time, ecstasy has set in. My blue blood has reached the boiling point. I'm on fire. She's on fire. The room is filled with smoke. Then I put my arms around her, and suddenly, the clock is striking 12 o'clock, midnight.
Then what?
That's beautiful. From now on, she's paying me time and a half.
But, Prince, making love for money, don't that make you feel kind of ashamed of yourself?
Only when I work 2 cheese. By the by, where is the young lady I'm expecting to extort? Written writing this is.
We'll have it in Russian dialogue the next time.
Please, much more.
Okay, I'll call your escort. Oh, Miss Duffy.
Yes?
Well, here she is, Prince.
This is a woman.
Yep. This is Miss Duffy. She's coming out tonight.
Is that wise?
Please, Prince. Miss Duffy, I would like for you to meet a real Russian prince. This is Prince...
Allow me. The name is Prince Petrovich Alexandrovich. Just call me Itchy.
Likewise, I'm sure.
The prince here, Miss Duffy, is going to escort you to the party tonight.
A prince? Oh, Archie, I can't believe it. It couldn't happen to me. I must be dreaming. I think I'll pinch myself.
Allow me.
Thank you. Prince, come here. I'm all yours.
Just a minute. Miss Duffy, this place is too big for us two. I think I'll go.
But, Prince, you made a bargain.
But do I have to go down to the basement?
But what about the $5?
Forget about it.
Well, what will the escort bureau say?
Let him fire me.
But, Prince, Miss Duffy's father is a rich man.
How do you do? Let me look on you, my dear. Your hair, your eyes, your ears, your lips.
What about them?
You have them all. Tonight I will make love to you. Tonight I will make love to you. Tonight I will make love to you.
Prince, your needle's stuck.
I'm trying to talk myself into it. Miss Duffy, you are beautiful. You are gorgeous. You are charming. Quick, some vodka. Miss Duffy, you are the most beautiful girl in the world. Be gone, my princess, and I shall join you at the cash register later.
Au revoir, sweet prince.
I shall be dying every minute you are away from me.
And when I return?
I shall drop dead. Farewell! Farewell, Ninotchka!
Farewell, my prince.
Well, Prince, now that you met Miss Duffy, is there any last request?
Yes. Yes. A cigarette, please. No blindfold.
No blindfold.
Say, Archie.
Oh, hello, Clancy.
Hey, I forgot to tell you. Oh, hello, Trotsky.
Good evening, Officer Clancy.
You still know each other?
Takes care of me every night down at the Russian Kretschmer.
The Russian Kretschmer?
Of course, best doorman they ever had.
Crap.
A doorman. And I told Duffy he was a prince.
Have no fear, my friend. From now on, I will be a prince. I will play the part to perfection.
Well, you better. You'll be one Russian who won't walk out.
Friends, you'll be delighted at what can happen to your smile when you use Ipana. For Ipana toothpaste can help your teeth to a brightness, your smile to a loveliness you never thought possible. And so easily, too. Listen, here's all you do.
Brush your teeth regularly with Ipana. Then with a fingertip, briefly and gently massage the gums along the line where they meet the teeth.
This line is the lifeline of your smile. For you need firm, healthy gums as well as bright, sparkling teeth to keep your smile lovely. So between regular visits to your dentist, guard your smile this special Ipana way. For remember, it's Ipana. Ipana toothpaste for your smile of beauty.
Great party, huh, Eddie? Everybody happy?
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. O'Toole is talking to each other for the first time in 2 years.
That's nice.
Yeah, I just served them with their 20th beer, and they don't recognize each other.
Well, that's swell, Eddie. Hey, how about livening up the party with a Russian song, Eddie, in honor of our guest?
No,
huh?
Now, Mr. Hart.
Go ahead. The guest is all stiff. They won't mind. Hey, Clancy.
Yes, yes.
Clancy, Eddie's going to sing a song. Rap on Moriarty's skull for order while I make an announcement, huh?
Okay. And the rest of you stay quiet, too.
Okay, folks, we will now be rendered with a song by that great little singing waiter and vocalist, Eddie Green. Let's give him a little hand.
Them vulgar boatmen is lifting them barges and holding them bells. Ah, them vulgar boatmen, listen to them rocking that vulgar boat. Talking about that vulgar boatman, got no hat, he ain't got no coat, he's higher and higher, higher and lower. All them boatmen rocking on Lenox Ave. That's all.
Bravo, 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 Publicki, bravo.
My song now.
Okay, Miss Duffy. Folks, we will now hear... excuse me. Hello? Hello, Duffy, where are you? Huh? Mrs. Duffy was hit by a truck? Oh, that's terrible. Anything broken? The radiator and two fenders, huh? Wait a minute. What happened to Mrs. Duffy? Just bent her bumper, huh? Well, look, put her in the garage and hurry up over. The party's going on. Okay. As I was saying, folks, we will now hear a song by our guest of honor, Miss Duffy, accompanied by Clifton Finnegan and Prince Itchy.
But, Archie, I'm supposed to sing this song all alone.
If you do, you will be. Well, folks, here they are. A lad, a lass, and a lack.
Archie
Chania.
Archie
Chania. I'll
catch pneumonia.
Archie Chania.
You are lasting up the national anthem of Russian Cafe Society. Permit me.
Archie Chania. Corny. That was corny. Could be funny.
My honey.
With your money. California.
Here I come.
It's so thrilling. I'm so willing.
Me, you're killing.
Oh, this is silly.
I leave the Bowery. How's your dowry?
Don't get fresh.
How did you like Miss Duffy's voice?
Beautiful. We Russians love to suffer.
Then you mean you'll propose to her?
Why not? She's not so old. Maybe her voice will change.
You mean you'll really marry her?
It's either this or I go back to Siberia. Miss Duffy, my little Veronica, you are beautiful. All my life I dreamed of you. More vodka, please. You are my inspiration.
Just being with you makes my blood tingle.
Then you mean you like me?
Frankly, no. But you have touched the purse strings of my heart. Miss Duffy, I wish you to do me the honor of becoming... Wait! What is that thing?
What?
That horrible monster coming through that door.
Horrible monster? Prince, that's Duffy. Hello, Duffy.
That's my father-in-law, Booby.
Yeah. Wait a minute, Prince. Where are you going?
Back to Siberia.
Mr. Wallington, do me a favor.
Why, of course.
Introduce me to that fellow over there, the smooth one who looks so good-natured.
Smooth-shaven, smiling. That's Bob. He uses Ingram shaving cream for close, clean shaves that are cooling to his face and his temper. Yes, men, comfort means coolness. Coolness means Ingram. I-N-G-R-A-M. Ingram, the cooler shaving cream.
Keep smooth, yet keep smiling.
Use cool, comfortable Ingram. Time now to leave Duffy's Tavern for this evening, but let's meet here again at the same time next Wednesday when our guests will be Harry Bonzel and Mr. Sidney N. Strokes, NBC Vice President. Until next Wednesday, then, this is Jimmy Wallington reminding you that Duffy's Tavern is brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste. Try Ipana for your smile of beauty. Bristol Myers bring you the Alan Young Show on Friday night. And Mr. District Attorney, which follows immediately over most of these stations.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Duffy's Tavern, on Tuned to Yesterday from May 28, 1947 on NBC. And so closes this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.